Session 1, Being God's People Today. Let me start by reading 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I recently caught the end of a moving documentary. It told the story of a Christian couple who were adopting an orphan from Haiti. And there were all kinds of issues and problems and red tape that they had to wade their way through. And it was really on the edge as to whether it was going to happen at all. And as I watched this documentary, there were two particularly wonderful scenes. The first was when this orphan was met by his new parents. And they were waiting at the airport. They were absolutely thrilled. And of course, he was thrilled as well. And you can imagine him thinking of his whole new life stretching ahead of him now. But the second scene was this. It was when they got back home. And this was a Christian family. And the whole church that they belonged to had arranged this celebration for him. And you could see his mouth dropping as hundreds of people, smiling, welcomed him in. And so this orphan not only got new parents, but a whole new family. And I'm sure he'll go on to tell that wonderful story again and again. Well, wonderfully, for Christians, every single Christian believer has a similar story to tell. Verse 10 of our passage puts it like this. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Now, there are two key parts of the story. And the first is this. God rescues us into a new family. The verse reminds us that actually none of us begins life belonging to God's family once you were not a people. God created us. He loves us. But the Bible explains that each of us have rejected God and his love. Like rebellious children who walk out of the family and cut all ties. But Peter explains that for Christians, a wonderful change has occurred. God has brought us back into his family. And so the verse says, but now you are the people of God. Through Jesus, God restores us into relationship with himself. And just like that orphan, he also welcomes us into a whole new family, God's family. And this is a family who will encourage us to keep following Jesus, a family who will help us when life is tough, family who are called to love and forgive each other, a family who have God as their father and who all want to live life for him now rather than for themselves. And this family that God has brought us into is what we call the church. And God's plan is for this family to be absolutely central to our Christian lives. Because we live in a highly individualistic culture, it's easy to think that the most important thing about being a Christian is how I relate to God. But actually, how I relate to the new family God has given me is every bit as important. So part one of a story, God rescues us into a new family. Part two of our story, God rescues us because of his mercy. Now have a look back at verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Christians are brought into God's family because of his mercy. That just means that none of us deserves to be part of God's people. If there was an entrance exam, all of us would fail. If there was an interview, none of us would be hired. Our sin actually makes all of us unfit for God's people. But then God showed mercy. He sent Jesus to die for the sin that we're guilty of. And now says, come on in. And that means that none of us can say, well done me. Instead, we can only say, isn't Jesus amazing? And this means that God's family has no hierarchy. We're all the same, sinners who deserve nothing, but because of God's mercy, have found themselves now as part of this wonderful family. So this is every Christian's story. Now, not just given a new individual relationship with God, but welcomed into a new family, all because of God's mercy. So God rescues a people, not just individuals. But secondly, what does being part of God's family actually involve? And that's what we see from verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, to understand that verse, we've got to go back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And this is what he said, Exodus 19, verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's what God said about the Israelite nation. But it leaves a big question. What about the non-Israelite, non-Jewish people? Well, when we get to the New Testament, we see that God's plan was always to expand his people to include every nation. And so these verses in Peter that we're looking at are written to non-Israelite people who have trusted in Jesus. But did you notice that the way God refers to the Israelites back in Exodus is now applied across to these Christians? And so verse 9, now it is followers of Jesus who are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are God's people if we've trusted in Christ. But what do these three titles tell us about what it means to belong to God's people? Well, first, Christians are a chosen people. Think back to that orphan who we began with. Yeah, you can imagine perhaps a couple of years down the line, he goes to school and he begins to realise that most of his friends there have biological parents. Perhaps he begins to feel like his parents don't really count in the same way. Well, imagine him getting back from school a little sad, and his parents sit him down and say, son, we chose you. None of the other parents chose their children, but we picked you out and chose you to be our son, and we love you. How special that must make him feel. Well, Christian believers can say the same thing. God didn't have to take us in. He didn't have to show us mercy, but he chose to. He chose us because he loves us. Now, the Christians Peter is writing to were having a really hard time for following Jesus. They felt small and insignificant in a culture that opposed them. And today, Christians increasingly feel a similar kind of pressure. So it's vital to know God has chosen us, even if the world opposes us. And it's vital that we stick together as God's people and learn to relate to each other as God wants. And if you look at the outline of these sessions on page 3, you'll see that's what we're going to work through over the next 3 sessions. What it means in my life to be part of this new family and how we can play our part in it most fully. So Christians are a chosen people. Secondly, though, Christians are a royal priesthood. In the Old Testament, the priests were set apart to do God's work. That involved offering sacrifices for the people's sin in the temple. It also involved teaching the people about God and how to follow him. But Peter tells us here that since Jesus has come, now all Christians are priests. There's no need for sacrifices anymore because Jesus has paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. And so instead, our job is to point people to Jesus, to tell people about God and his mercy. Now, it's true, of course, there are people who are kind of vicars or ministers whose full-time job it is to teach people about Jesus. But actually all Christians have been given the job of witnessing to Jesus wherever they can. That's what the second half of verse 9 says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So being a royal priesthood is another way of saying we are Jesus' witnesses in the world. And again, if you look at the outline of this term's material on page 3, you'll see that we'll think this through in more detail in sessions 5 and 6. It can seem a daunting task, but I hope we'll see together it's a wonderful privilege and one God gives us everything we need for. Thirdly, Christians are a holy nation. I wonder what comes to mind when you think holy. Perhaps monks in monasteries, perhaps people who live very serious and rigorous lives. But when the Bible talks about being holy, it simply means having a character like God himself. Have a look back at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. You see the point? God is holy. He's perfectly kind, perfectly compassionate. The Bible says God is love. He is unspoilt by sin, like greed or lust or bitterness. He's fiercely opposed to all that is evil. And that sets God apart from anyone else. In fact, that's what that word holy means, set apart. And God, having rescued a people to himself, now calls them to be holy like him. Not to become boring, but to dazzle with goodness. And that will mean being set apart from the world around us. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. It's so easy to conform, just to fit in with the world around us. But Christians should be radically different. And if you look at, for a final time at the outline of this term's material, you'll see that we're going to work through what it means to be holy in three particular areas: marriage, money, and work. Now, of course, being different isn't confined to these areas, but they are key areas of life for all of us. How can we make sure in those areas we don't just fit in, but instead sparkle like God himself? So I hope you're excited about getting to grips with what it means to be God's people. God doesn't just rescue us as an individual. He brings us into a wonderful people. And if we want to be disciples of Jesus, it's vital to know how to play our own role among God's people, getting stuck into our new family, witnessing to the world, and living distinctive Christ-like lives. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation.